Get more than you expect with the $5 meal deal, part of new McValue. Five gets you a McDouble or McChicken and a small fry and a small drink and a four-piece McNuggets. Woo! New McValue at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
You're watching Tip TV Finance. Meet Jenny Hammond and Zach Mir. And joining us down the line is Jane Foley from Rabobank. Jane, good to have you with us today.
Good morning.
Well, let's start with the dollar, as of course, every time Donald Trump seems to do something, the dollar's impacted. So where does it stand at the moment?
Well, I think you're right. It's very unusual, really, for a developed economy to be so focused on political news. But in fact, because of the unpredictability about Donald Trump, that's exactly where we stand. So in terms of the dollar, I think one thing is very clear. Last year, of course, the dollar was rallying hard based on reflationary hopes. And this year, a lot of those dollar longs have been unwound. Of course, the market is yet to see anything firm with respect to the detail of that reflationary policy. And meanwhile, of course, many investors are becoming a bit more concerned about the protectionism, the isolationistic stance of the Trump administration. So the dollar now a little bit in limbo. Focus last night, of course, on the Fed. But the Fed not giving much away. Some disappointment, though, because Janet Yellen didn't firmly signal March as a policy meeting, which has left some analysts a little bit concerned that the Fed may not be able to squeeze in all three of those interest rate hikes that she had signaled. So the dollar's slightly on the back foot, but of course still waiting economic data in the form of payrolls tomorrow.
Isn't the issue also that basically because of the rally that we had after Trump was elected, the dollar had been or has been too strong for them to raise interest rates in an aggressive way? Hence you had that Peter Navarro comment about the euro being grossly undervalued.
Well, you know, I think really that's the position of the last couple of years. The last couple of years, the market has started off being pretty optimistic about the prospects of Fed interest rate hikes. And in the event, the Fed have done very little, just an interest rate hike at the end of the last couple of years. And that is partly because of dollar strength. The dollar, after all, is the strongest performing G10 currency measured back through to the start of 2014. So dollar strength, if you like, has been doing a lot of their heavy lifting for the Fed over the last couple of years. In terms of where is fair value of euro dollar, well, if you look at many estimates from models such as PPP, purchasing power parity estimates, they will put a fair value for euro dollar anywhere between 133 and around about 115, 116. So certainly on almost all measures, the euro is presently undervalued. But what was very surprising about those Navarro comments the other day wasn't necessarily the content, because I think most FX analysts would agree that the euro is undervalued. It was the way that it was said. It was the pointed way, or the pointed remarks about Germany. The euro, of course, is freely floating and hasn't had any. The German government hasn't had any say in the weakness of the euro. But generally speaking, remarks like that, you would imagine, are either kept behind closed doors or are cloaked in more diplomatic language.
Well, the whole point of the EU is to have a weaker Deutschmark, which would benefit the Germans and their manufacturing base. But moving on to the UK, we've got the Bank of England inflation report. How are they going to spin this as far as being a reason not to raise rates immediately?
Well, if you look at what the money market curve is pricing in and has for a while, the market seems to be quite comfortable that the Bank of England aren't going to do anything, at least until 2018. And I think that's a fair analysis. The majority of economists, the consensus of economists in the UK, expect that the higher inflation is just going to erode real incomes and therefore slow growth and leave us all poorer. And already I think the signs of that are coming through. Petrol prices, for instance, are the highest level than they've been for the last couple of years. And if we look at the CPI data that came through for December, that was stronger than expected based upon energy, but also food prices. Again, that will eat into people's income. The retail sales data in December, surprisingly weak. Perhaps that is because there are signs that inflation is eating into people's incomes and therefore demand. So the bank are sitting on the fence. They're watching the inflation numbers. They indicated in December that actually inflation probably won't be as strong as they thought it would be in November, because sterling has stopped fall in October. Of course, it was much weaker. But of course, they are still very, very carefully looking for second-round inflation effects to see if they come through into wage rises, et cetera, et cetera. So right now, I think they're on the fence. I don't think today's meeting is really going to bring any surprises, nor the inflation report. Maybe a moderate upward revision to growth and a downward revision to inflation from November, but that shouldn't really surprise anyone.
And finally, the Aussie dollar is in the spotlight today in three-month highs. What do you think is the driver behind this?
Well, I think quite clearly for today's move, it really is the trade data. The December trade number, I think, was a record high for that month, so that was pretty good. And the reason for that is, of course, commodity prices. If we look back really towards last year and then again towards the start of this year, we've seen prices for iron ore and coal really being lifted. Now, whether or not that will continue is going to be very interesting this year. There is some speculation that some of the lift in those prices at the start of the year was because there is pressure on China to close down illegal steel smelting plants due to pollution, perhaps also because of trying to soften the relationship with the US, maybe, and whether or not we're going to maintain this demand for coal and steel once those plants are closed, we'll have to see. But certainly for now, the lift in commodity prices is certainly shining a positive light on the Australian economy.
Jane, thank you. Jane Foley there from Rabobank.